The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to John Melendez. You know him as a one-time intern and sidekick to Howard Stern, and most recently, as announcer and comedy writer for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. What you may not know is that he's also a father, a stand-up comedian, and the founder of a new website, WeddingRoasters.com. We'll talk about all of that. Stick around. There's good money being bet as to which one of us will stutter first.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of people who are hoping for some slip of the tongue to report back to Howard and Jay, even though John doesn't work for either of them anymore, in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. John, wake up!
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Nobody in showbiz has a resume quite like John Melendez. He started as a college intern on the Howard Stern radio show, where his balls-out willingness to do pretty much anything made him an instant listener favorite, whether to love or hate. For 15 years, he was one of Howard's guys, ferociously loyal, willing to take the boss's crap, and dish it right back. If you listen regularly, you knew that despite the abuse Stern gave him over his persistent stutter, he was one of Stern's on-air treasures. That changed, however, when Melendez's career, and by the way, I stuttered first, career took a turn nobody saw coming. Jay Leno hired him to be his announcer on The Tonight Show. What the fuck? The world seemed to say it pretty much as one. But Leno found the same loyalty in Melendez that Stern had, expanding his role to writer and keeping him on his team for 6 years until his last day on The Tonight Show just a few weeks ago. Did The Tonight Show experience change or mature John Melendez? What will he do next? Here's a hint. WeddingRoasters.com with his finger up his nose. And by the way, this is John's second visit to Mr. Media. John Melendez, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Hello, Bob. How are you, pal?
I'm good, John. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. So, John, it's been 2 weeks of this Jimmy Fallon charade. Has Jay Leno called you yet and given you your return to work date on The Tonight Show?
No, I think that's done. I think that ship has passed, Bob.
I don't know. Fallon's first night, he introduced himself as your host for now. I figured, you know.
Yeah, Bob, that's, you know, I don't know, you know, that's called a joke.
A joke. what kind of emotions were you dealing with those last days and weeks on The Tonight Show? Or you and everybody else? Was it hard? Was it, you know, was it time? Was it just, you know, what was going on?
It was really tough. I mean, there are a lot of good people there, a lot of talented people, and Jay's a great guy. And yeah, it was, you know, there's a lot of people crying. I mean, it was a hard thing. You know, I mean, a lot of those people have been there for 22 years since Jay's been there. Some even before Jay, when Carson was there. So it was, you know, it was difficult. You know, especially the fact in knowing that I'm not going to have a paycheck.
Now you did mention. Now you know we're friends, if you will, on Facebook, and you did put out a message just a few days after the show ended that you appreciated that Jay was a stand-up guy and made sure that you guys all got paid severance. And
yes. Yeah, that was very nice. I mean, we're all, you know, covered for quite some time, which is why I could do this interview from my bed.
I wanted to point out, yeah, at some point I was going to point out that John has gone to no expense in doing this interview. He's literally in his own bed. I actually had to force him to turn on the light so you folks would be able to see him doing the interview.
You know why, Bob? I'll tell you why. I have this thing called, you know, sleep apnea.
Uh-huh.
you know, where I only sleep like an hour or two, then I wake up, so I have to wear this mouthpiece. I put this like this. And then it moves your drawer out like that. It moves your drawer out, and then it opens your air passage. But it's so uncomfortable to sleep with this thing on. So sometimes I don't do it. So last night, I didn't do it, so I was up every hour or two, and hence, I'm still a little tired. And after this interview, I'm sure I'll be completely exhausted.
knowing the technical problems we had getting just to this point, I imagine you're pretty exhausted by this point.
Yeah, if anybody knows, it took Bob 20 minutes to figure out the freaking recording until I told him that he should be hitting the record button.
Yeah, he did that. And I said to him, I'm sure someone's told you that at some point. What was different those last couple of weeks of the show than, you know, you were there for 6 years. Was there a was there a feeling that it was very different, or, you know, was it business as usual? Did Jay treat it any differently?
No, Jay was pretty, pretty consistent. He didn't show it, at least. I mean, there are a lot of people. I mean, there are people crying here and there, but, you know, you didn't really see Jay, you know, until the last, you know, couple of days when, you know, even on the show, you saw him, you know, break up a little bit, and, you know, and there was a day before when he gave his speech saying goodbye that he got a little choked up. So, yeah, it was tough, man. I mean, you know, everyone came the day before and spoke and had their feeling, you know, and expressed their feelings. And, you know, Jay's been a great guy to a lot of these people, and a lot of people don't even know, like, behind the scenes, the things that Jay's done for a lot of the show. I mean, he's truly a, you know, I don't have a bad word to say about him. Well, except the fact that he wears the same freaking denim every day. But
so that's true.
Yeah, the guy's got like 80 denim shirts and 80 pairs of jeans.
Well, I want to talk to you about Wedding Roasters a little later, but I did want to ask you. So you knew for some time that the show was going to come to an end. Fallon was going to step up and be the new host. Did you prepare much for your post Tonight Show career? What you'd be doing?
No. No, I'm only kidding, Bob. Yeah, of course I did. I've been working on quite a number of things, and hopefully you'll be hearing about them very soon.
All right. Now, I remember while you were doing the show a few years ago, that may have been around the time that you were first on the show. You were doing John Melendez TV, I think?
Yes. In fact, I still have that website, and the company, I've been unable to retrieve the person who's supposed to be making changes for me. He's MIA.
Ah.
Along with the Ukrainian president. I don't know what the hell happened to him.
You want to give out an Amber Alert for the guy? Maybe we can find.
Yes, please, Neil. I need your help. I need some of the footage off of there, because, you know, I had a reality reel. I had a, you know, all these different reels I could be getting to people. Then I got to edit the whole thing all over again. That's very time consuming, Bob.
He's probably out there somewhere with Stan Lee Media. You know, Stan Lee Media. They used his name, and then they started a whole separate operation, and has nothing to do with Stan Lee anymore.
Okay, I was just waiting for the crickets.
Sorry. I'm sure someone will add them in post.
And by the way, Bob, what kind of grown man's got a stuffed animal behind him, a bunch of toys? What the hell's going on with you? A Hess truck? Jeez.
Well, better I should be collecting vinyl albums? Oh, never mind. That's a whole other conversation. So, now, the other thing I know that you've been doing is you've been working out periodically as a stand-up, which I guess is probably tied to Wedding Roasters. How often do you get out and do, you know?
All the time. You know, I've been doing stand-up, as you know, when I was on the Stern Show. I would have started earlier, only I was so afraid to stutter on stage. And, you know, when I was at NYU, I wanted to stand. And for 10 years, I wanted to be a stand-up comic, but, you know, I was afraid I would stutter on the joke. And so finally, you know, I had an epiphany, and I said, you know what? If I get asked celebrities about their bowel movements, why can't I get on stage and, you know, tell a few jokes? And this is true. So I was actually seeing a therapist at the time. I said, I'm going to do it. So I got up on stage, and I'll give this guy a plug. Al Martin at the New York Comedy Club So he let me go on. He had two stages, which I didn't know, but he let me go on one. Bob, I did a 5 minute set. I think I told two jokes. I stuttered through everything. And then I was so distraught. And he said, John, I got another stage. I want you to do the same act, you know, in 10 minutes. I go to the other stage. I don't stutter at all. I get the jokes out. I get laughs. And I was hooked. But I've been doing stand-up for a while. I just headlined the John Lovitz Club on Valentine's Day. I'm doing the John Lovitz Club tonight again. And I just did the Ha Ha Cafe on Saturday. So, yeah, I do it a lot. It's something that people I don't know because they don't know of me as that. But I haven't had too many complaints so far.
Well, so this is what I'm wondering. Since obviously you're planning – I'm guessing you're planning to do more of this now. Now that you're, you're
funny you mentioned that, Bob. It's true. I'm booked in Vegas, July 8th through the 13th at the Harrah's Improv, and I'm booked in Tahoe at the Improv, Lake Tahoe, in March during the Memorial Day week.
So, what do you talk about on stage? Do you talk about your life? Do you talk about your careers with Howard and Jay? What would people expect to hear about?
I do a whole bit, 30-minute bit on whether it should be paper or plastic. No, Bob. I talk about stuttering. I talk about the Stern Show. I talk about the Tonight Show. I talk about my kids. I talk about my divorce and being a Catholic, married to a Jewish girl, and having you know, kids with both religions, the kids are Jew-Athletics or cashews, whichever you choose. And I go through everything that I can talk about in my life. I don't hide anything.
So people who know you from various parts of your life, they could expect to feel comfortable because they're not going to show up and you're going to be talking about, paper or plastic for 30 minutes. You're going to talk about the things that they know you for. You're going to talk about, things, your observations. You're going to be funny. It's the whole package, basically, I guess is what I'm
saying. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, Bob. It is.
You're welcome. And that'll be the last we'll talk about your package. I mentioned, I think a lot of people were surprised when you became the announcer for The Tonight Show. I mean, that was like, wait a minute. The guy who stutters, that guy is the announcer?
No, could you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, how did that – what happened with you in your life that made you, A, confident enough to do that, and B, that someone would think, hey, we should have John Melendez be the announcer for The Tonight Show?
Well, I was on that show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, The Tonight Show saw me on there, and I guess – liked, what I was doing and asked me to be a guest. And then when I was a guest, Jay and I hit it off. It was a nice segment. And as soon as the segment was over, the executive producer and head writer offered me a job as a correspondent. It was that quick. And then I turned it down. I actually tried talking to Howard about it, which, I talked to Robin and she gave me the advice. Talk to Howard's assistant, try and set up a meeting, and twice on the air, he's like, I don't want to meet with you, I don't care about you, So I tried, and then I said no to The Tonight Show. And then about 6 months, later, I kept in contact with them, and then they offered me the announcer job, which was enough cash and everything, I could move my whole family across the country. And that's the thing. A lot of people, I get some fans saying that I sold out. But the truth is, Bob, I was on the Stern Show for 15 years. Sure. I went to NYU. I majored in film and television. I always wanted to, be in television. And, it's been a passion of mine. And, and to make films. Oh, I started. And there was no hard feelings. I loved being on the Stern Show. I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just that it was time for, I was ready to move on. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you started there as a college intern. I think people lose track of that. They have this image of you at a certain point in your life and think that you're always going to be that guy. I mean, sitting here talking to you, we've talked before, but looking at you and talking to you, the one thing that strikes me, besides the fact that somewhere along the line you started looking more a little more like Artie than like John, is that...
Bob, if my fist could go through the screen right now...
you know... but you're calm. You're relaxed. You're not that jittery jumping jack of a guy that people, I think, associated with the Stern Show. And I think that must have something to do with why you're able to stay with Jay, why you're able to accomplish what you have.
Is there a question there, Bob?
No, I just like making it. It's my view of observational.
No, honestly, I appreciate it. But yeah, I've gotten a lot calmer. You know, a lot of it's self-confidence, and a lot of it's, you know, as you get older, just like, you know, the stutter, it's for the most part dissipated. I mean, you know, I was really bad when I was a kid. I was bad on the Stern Show, and you know, I slowly got a lot better, and you know, like now when I'm on stage, people get pissed I don't stutter.
Does it bother you that they continue to run the old episodes where you do stutter and, you know, you're that guy again? It won't go away.
No, because I mean, that's who I was then. I don't have any, I don't have any problem with it. I mean, you know, it was great. It was, it was a fun time.
Well, you may not be stuttering, but you are slouching. Can you adjust your...
I have no regrets. I have no regrets, Bob. Hey, Bob, hey, see that up there?
Lakers.
That is my... Yeah, that's my Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jersey that he signed to me because I was his writer for his roast. I was the only writer that they hired.
Wow.
And I did... Yeah, so I did a lot of drop-ins, you know, for his roast where a lot of celebrities were at, a ton of the basketball stars, and I got the right jokes for a lot of them. And it was great.
Well, so if you're going to show us your Kareem jersey, and assuming that you're wearing pants, anything else in the bedroom you want to show us?
Let's see. There's my Salvador Dali etching that he signed.
Really? Salvador Dali?
Yeah.
Or
Salvador Dali, you know the artist?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some of my paintings over here, which are not as good. And there's my kids. And look, there's Mickey Mantle over here. That's signed in his Triple Crown year.
Wow, cool.
And there's Willie Mays on a famous catch that he signed. Yeah, that he signed. And let's see. And that's about it, Bob.
That's pretty cool. That's some cool stuff. I've got a signed Mantle in the other room. It's a big. He's just kind of leaning on the bat at home plate. So I have a great. Great respect for that stuff. So how are you surprised, John, that people are still that fascinated with you through all these years? And
I wasn't aware that they were, but if they are, then I am grateful and excited.
It's nice. Keeps you working, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just. I know we'll talk about this later, but with wedding roasters, you know, I mean, you know, immediately as soon as even before I announced it on Facebook, whatever, I got offers, you know, and I think it's because, and listen, I mean, a lot of people, which I am grateful to Howard about, I mean, that, you know, that show is very powerful. And a lot of people, you know, it was part of their lives, you know, and we were all like, it was like a soap opera that was live and unscripted that they listened to every day. And each of us had a role and each of us had a character. And I think, you know, it's a tribute to him that people still are, you know, interested in all of us. I mean, Artie has a show. I mean, you know, Artie's got best-selling books. I mean, you know, and I think even Gary's book was a bestseller. So, I mean, it shows you how many people are so loyal that, you know, listen to the show.
Do you have any issues with either of their books? I saw that. Go ahead.
I don't read, Bob.
Somehow I doubt that.
No, I honestly don't. I didn't read either one, and it's not out of. It's just I on the Tonight Show. You know, we did a thing called, you know, drop-ins, which are video jokes during a monologue. Actually, one of my favorite things in life, besides my kids being born, one of my favorite. Experiences that they played when Jay was the White House correspondent host, they played, you know, one of my drop-ins and they cut to the president and he's laughing at one of my drop-ins. So I made the president laugh, man. I could, you know, I could die now.
Don't do that. but now the reason I asked is I again, going back to Facebook, You mentioned a few days ago that Artie had taken a swing at you.
You know what?
I was surprised that you would mention it. So I felt like
well, it's funny. It's funny, and I hate to even publicize. And I love Artie. Artie is always I've always been a good friend of you know, Artie's been always been a good friend of mine. But he had AJ Benz on, and no. I don't even want to. I mean,
so that's and, context. Now I get it.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, it's like AJ sits there, you know, and he goes, "Oh, John's a comedian now," and he holds the things up. And I was just a little upset that Artie didn't, you know, defend me or anything. Now, Artie didn't really say anything bad, so it was just the lack of it. Because then at one point AJ was saying that, you know, that I post stuff on Facebook about my life and it's embarrassing. And like, again, and then Artie said, yeah, John, you know, wouldn't even try and call me. He just, you know, tweets me. And that pissed me off, Bob, because the truth of the matter is, and his sister will attest to this, I contacted his sister twice to get Artie's number, asked Gary Delabate once, and Gary didn't have his current number either. I had a friend of mine in New York go to Artie's Crash and Burn book signing and tell him John's trying to get a hold of you, and my friend Justin Schwartz, Catholic boy, he even gave my number to Artie and said, John really would like to get a hold of you because I don't have Artie's number. And Artie said, yeah, I'm going to call him, and never did. So when Artie goes on the AJ thing and said that all I did was tweet, it was just, you know, it was, you know, and then AJ, it wasn't really true. But, hey, you know, it's, you know, I love Artie. I'm sure he wasn't mean spirit. I think he was trying to just go along with AJ talking about the Facebook thing. But again, as far as the Facebook thing, what really pissed me off is, you know, because AJ afterwards, this is how lame it is, okay, Bob? A week before my Valentine's Day show, AJ emails me on Facebook. I have the email, so the document. He writes to me that he has a 5-year-old daughter now, and that he showed her the time that he slapped me, and his daughter says it ain't nice, and you know, so he was really being humble and said, John, you know, if you want, I'll come to your show at the John Lovitz Club. And you could slap me. And I wrote back, sure. Not like I was going to slap him, because I would not do that. But it would be nice to have him. I would have brought him on stage and gave him a hug, whatever. It was just a nice thing. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, AJ then goes on to Artie's thing and says, yeah, then John wants me to come and slap him. And, like, I want to be a part of that circus act. It's like, dude, you contacted me, bro. So then I emailed him after the interview. And I said, and, you know, AJ, it's embarrassing that I post my personal life. I go, what's the difference of me talking about my personal life on The Stern Show, which I was an open book, and me talking about it on Facebook? What's the difference? And he wrote back, none, because there's no difference. Facebook right now, because I don't have a radio show, is my radio show. You know, I'll talk about the good things, the bad things, and everything else, you know, so... I mean, and I enjoy it, you know, I mean, and it's been very good for me. I mean, it gets people to come to the clubs, and so everything's good. But anyway, it wasn't really about Artie. I love Artie. It was more about AJ. And since then, AJ's emailed me and apologized and everything else. So everything's fine with AJ, too. And I can't believe I just wasted 10 minutes with that.
all I did was ask a question.
No, I know. But like I said, I'm an open book. That's the truth. And Artie, please call me. By the way, I will say this, Artie. His partner on the show, Mike Boschetti, mm-hmm. who is a comic, who's a friend of mine, who I flew out here to L.A. to try and get on the Tonight Show on my own dime. I'm not to blow my own horn, but I'm just that kind of guy. But, he called me. I called him. I gave him my number and told him, please give it to Artie so we could talk. And Artie still hasn't called. So I am going to now beg Mike for Artie's number, and then I will be the man and I will make the call. Not saying Artie's not a man, but I will be the guy to make the call.
I understand. And by the way, Justin Schwartz, Catholic boy, sounds like a great sitcom title.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's come back. Let's move away from Artie and all that stuff. But so you joined the Tonight Show, and what I kind of wondered is this is kind of this bastion of conventional television. This is as traditional TV as it can get. And you went there from the most unconventional broadcast operation in the history of broadcast. So what I'm wondering is, Did the Tonight Show change you? Did you change the Tonight Show? Was there a little of both?
I don't understand the question.
Well, I mean, you're coming from one place to a completely different place. You know, and I...
You know what? It's a different environment, and one of the biggest, you know, differences is, man, there is a lot of food at the Tonight Show.
That's not kidding. The difference. That's the thing.
Yeah, because okay. All I'll tell you is, like, you know, it is wherever you turn, there is food. And, you know, I was in the briefings with Jay every afternoon, and we got lunch from 5-star restaurants. You know what I mean? And, you know, and it's just, there's trays of candy wherever you go. There's bagels in there's a kitchen with food everywhere. Which is why I look, like you said, I look more like Artie now.
See, I was thinking, don't bring that up again, Bob. Don't bring that up again.
Jesus. I've been you know what, Bob? I've been jogging every day because I know you can't tell, but, you know, I started smoking cigarettes when I started doing stand up. And because, you know, you get some tense and you just, and what Artie would smoke and, you know, Nick DiPaolo would smoke. And I just started to smoke, and then drinking beer and smoking went together. In fact, Artie used to get pissed at me. He said, stop grubbing my cigarettes, buy your own, you know. And so I finally just became like a social smoker. I only smoked when I drank beer, which is like every day. But anyway, so I became a big smoker. So I just stopped. It's almost 8 weeks now. I haven't had a cigarette, a tobacco cigarette, of course. Yeah. And so I've been, you know, because of that, I gained some weight. So I'm trying to lose it now.
Well, I'm glad to hear you quit smoking. We were talking before we got started. We both have teenage daughters, and you don't want to be a smoker just for them, if no other reason.
Exactly.
They want to keep you around. Plus, you know, if you're smoking, your daughters are probably going to tell you to quit, and it's going to be one more thing that a teenage girl can do to irritate her dad.
Oh, no, they already have. And honestly, Bob, that is the reason why I stopped. It's because of my kids. I mean, I would like to see, you know, them get married and their kids and everything else, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. Kind of winding up on a couple more things about the Tonight Show. We'll come on to Wedding Roasters. I know you're waiting for that. So
it's okay.
I'm wondering if...
I mean, how many people are actually watching this, Bob? Three?
Listen, my daughter doesn't watch. My wife doesn't watch. My mother doesn't watch. So
And can you blame them?
Probably just people who, like I said at the beginning, are going to be waiting for you to say something that they can report back to Howard or Jay.
Oh, that's what I mean. You know, the Artie thing's already getting pulled and cut and edited. I love Artie.
No, and you know, I'm so glad that he's alive and he's. No one asked me, but I'm. You know.
Well, you know what's weird? I talked to Artie 6 months before that happened. You know, maybe that's why that happened. Anyway, I talked to him and because I had lived the first alleged Artie death, which was just to give you a little information. Like, I was on the Tonight Show. We were in Vegas, and one of the producers One of the producers on the Tonight Show pulled me aside privately and said, "We have some bad news for you." And I said, "What?" And they said he died. And I was like, what? And I was like, I freaked out. And I called over to because they were in Vegas at the same time. I called over to the Hard Rock, you know, and got some of their producers. You know, Artie's dead. What? Apparently it was a hoax that was pulled by Captain Jenks or somebody that said Artie was dead. But for at least 5 or 10 minutes, I lived Artie being dead. So when I talked to him on the phone, you know, I heard he was doing drugs, or whatever, and I talked to him. I said, "Artie, please, I don't want to live another one of these." I mean, I love you. You're a funny guy. You know, you got to stay alive. And then that happened. I was shocked. You know, and I haven't talked to him since.
Well, I mean, somebody who, you know, still listens to the show, and at that point, you could see that there was he was an accident waiting to happen for a long time, and I'm just glad that he got through it and he's back on his feet. So. Did any of the things that you did during your days at the Stern Show, particularly the celebrity stunts, did any of that haunt you at the Tonight Show? In that, did you ever cross paths with anyone who you would embarrass?
You know, yeah. You know, my favorite story, Bob, is Billy Crystal. The same time that we were in Vegas, you know, Billy Crystal was going to be a guest. And as you know, I really pissed him off on the Stern show. It's not fun. It's not funny, you know. And I said to Jay, I said, you know, Billy's on the show. I kind of pissed him off. Do you think I should send him like a, I don't know, like a basket of chocolate or whatever, you know, and apologize? He goes, nah, just avoid him. Just avoid him. Don't worry about it, you know. So I tried to avoid him. And then it so happens that I'm in the makeup room after the show. Robin Leach is there, who's a friend of mine. Billy walks in. Robin sees Billy. Robin doesn't know anything about this past and goes, Billy, say hello to my friend, Stutton John. So there I am. I'm face to face with, you know, Billy. I just go, Billy, let me just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. He goes, yeah, John, it was my premiere, you know. I mean, you didn't have to. I mean, I go, Billy, again, I'm sorry. If it's any consolation, I loved your movie 51. And he goes, 51, the movie 61, John. 51 will be the sequel. So even when I'm trying to, like, be a good guy, make up with the guy, I still manage to put my foot in my mouth and piss him off. It was so funny.
But, you know, that clip of you with him probably kept his career alive for some of those years afterward.
You know what?
He kind of fell off the map for a while.
Bob, come on. The guy's, like, so uber talented. Come on. I mean, I don't think he needed that clip to be freaking famous.
I understand. But, you know, it is weird. I mean, he's a very talented guy. He's done a lot of stuff. But there has been a period of time where he's kind of dropped, you know, he's dropped off, as most people have during their careers. So he have ups and downs. And yet there, you know, that clip keeps getting played, and we still keep hearing his name and him being pissed off at you.
I'm sure he's not happy they're still playing that.
All right, so let's talk about Wedding Roasters. It's weddingroasters.com. I'm sure you can look down below John's chin there, and maybe it'll be a little further down his chest if we can get him to move the camera slightly. But
I don't have his t-shirt yet, Bob.
No. The type is below. People can see weddingroasters.com. Not 6.
Where?
Anyway. So,
well, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you'll see it when this airs. So,
okay. Oh, I got you. It'll be over here somewhere?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. We'll do it in post. Tell us about weddingroasters.com. What inspired you to offer yourself for a fee to come to people's weddings and insult the bride and groom?
Well, first of all, Bob, see, the question is a little tainted because I don't have to insult the bride and groom. See, that's the cool thing. What really, if the bride and groom don't want to be insulted, they don't have to be. But everybody else in the party and all their friends and family, at the wedding will be insulted. And this is how it became. I was in Craig Kalman. He's a co-chairman of Atlantic's wedding party. And he wanted me to do a speech, and he wanted it to be funny. So I went up and I roasted Craig, and I roasted his wife, I roasted his dad, and I did all that, and it was great, you know. And I also did it for Paramount Video. It was a corporate event where they had me go and roast all the people, and they told me the quirks that people had, like this guy's a fat. Bad, you know, this guy has sex with everybody, you know, whatever. And then I wrote jokes about it. So I started doing that, and then I realized, like, you know, when I'm at bars, and like I was hanging out with Guy Fieri, the chef, you know, after the Tonight Show, after he was a guest, I invited him over to the club. I hung out with him. I was making him laugh. I was roasting the crap out of his friends. And then Guy called me when I was driving home and said, "Dude, I want you to come to my birthday party. I want you to do 20 minutes of stand up and roast the crap out of my friends." So that was great. So I was like, yeah, okay. So I told him to give me a whole bunch of, you know, bios on his friends and everybody else. And that's what I did. I went on stage and you know, I roasted his friends. And, you know, so somewhere along that way, I said, wait, I could do this for a living. I can make some money doing this. And so I bought the domain and I trademarked the name. And, you know, I just said, hey, and then this is how cool the whole Facebook thing is. I have the idea. I'm trying to build my own site on GoDaddy. I'm technically challenged. And a guy on Facebook goes, he doesn't know about it yet. Just happens to offer John, if you ever need anybody to build a website for you, that's what I do. I go, hey, it's funny you mentioned that. So boom. So he built this. So he's building the site now. It's up now, but it'll get better. And, and he's booking the dates for me. I mean, because he's doing the whole thing. I'm giving him 10%, and And then, you know, so he's, you know, handling all the calls and everything.
So I hire you to come to my wedding or my kid's bar mitzvah. I saw that's on the list, too. Do I have to buy you dinner, too?
If it's a bar mitzvah, I don't want the dinner. I love the Jewish people, but I hate their food. Yeah. I have a whole song about it.
And I don't, you probably want to get into exact figures, but can you give me like a range, so give folks an idea what it costs to have John Melendez?
It all depends. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't want to talk about that now, but if somebody calls and asks, you know, if it's a wedding, obviously in New York, I got to fly there, you know, it'll be a little bit more expensive than if it's a wedding out here in LA, you know, or a party. I recently got an offer to do a bachelor party in Vegas for good money, but they want me to do the roast in Speedos and a bow tie. And of course I said yes.
Of course you did.
No, but apparently that's the theme. Everybody's going to be dressed like that.
Honey, yeah, cancel me at that bachelor party. Thank
you. Nice, Bob.
All right. So weddingroasters.com, you're available. People can reach you through there. They can hire you. And you're doing weddings, bar mitzvahs. I imagine you probably
– Any party. Any event. Yeah, I just like the title, Wedding Roasters. It's like, you know, my attorney was going, it sounds like it's only one, you know, event. And I'm like, does Burger King, you know, serve chicken? I mean, so, you know, it's any party. But I just like the title, Wedding Roasters, you know, so.
All right. And obviously you're doing stand-up. We talked about that. Have you thought about joining Gary and Artie and doing a book?
I am in my fourth chapter now.
Good for you. I had a feeling. Nothing you could have done while you were with Jay or Howard, for that matter, I'm sure.
No, I could have done it when I was with Jay. But like I said, which I guess we went off on a long tangent, the whole dropping thing about reading and stuff.
I'm sorry. We went off on a long tangent? No, I just asked very short questions.
I'm sorry, Bob. After I went off on a long tangent.
Thank you, John.
But the thing about drop-ins is when after we worked the whole day and wrote and produced and edited, you know, when we did the drop-ins, and at night we'd go home and the research department would give us like 100 clips of the news and shows, and we would watch those and come up with drop-in jokes for the next day. So it was like 18-hour, you know, job, you know, trying to come up with these drop-ins off of the news stories and everything else. So I didn't have time to read Artie's or Gary's book anyway. Get back to what you wanted to ask me.
Got it. Well, let me give you the shorthand. Artie's book, very funny, great stories, great storytelling. Gary's book, interesting, not much about the show, mostly about Gary's life. I think he's got a lot of opportunity to write a second book that more people would find even more interesting if he would talk about the show. So there's the shorthand. Now you don't have to read either book.
Is this almost over?
As a matter of fact, yes. Folks, listen, you can hire this man, and he may or may not shave. I'll leave that up to you and your contract.
Look who's talking, Bob.
Hey, this is every day I have this. I don't believe that's you every day, is it?
It has been since I've been off the show.
Okay. All right. So you got 3 weeks worth of beard going there. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Folks, you can hire John Melendez to entertain at your wedding.
Bob, wouldn't it be more apropos to just say folk?
Folk?
Well, who the hell's watching this?
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's scratch that. Let's take two. Folk?
You. The only people watching this is me and you.
Well, yeah, and I kind of zoned out a little while ago.
Believe me, I zoned out the first 2 seconds.
I know. I had to wake you. I remember. I was here. Folk, you can hire John Melendez to entertain at your wedding, bar mitzvah, bris. Yeah, that would be a good one. Corporate
God.
Event by going to weddingroasters.com. Send him a message. He even greets you. There's a little video of him greeting you. So check that out. Is there another website as well for other things, or do you just want people to...
Well, johnmelendez.tv, if I could ever find the guy who built it so I can, you know, make some changes. But, yeah, those are the two things. And also I'm on Facebook, as you know. I'm also on Twitter, johnmelendez104. That's my birthday, October 4th. So johnmelendez104 is my Twitter account, Bob. You should know that. Are you following me?
I don't think I am.
Yeah, don't worry. Nobody is. I only have like 2,500 followers.
I will add you when we're done here today, just to see if you say anything insulting about me. All right.
Of course I wouldn't. I appreciate you doing the interview, Bob. You're a good man. I feel bad for your toy collection in the back. It spells something deranged to me, but I appreciate this, and you know, hopefully I'll get some business based on this interview.
That would be good. John, pleasure to see
you. Artie, call me.
Yeah, Artie, call him, and then call me. Come on here. You can talk about John all you want. John, great to see you. Good luck with everything, and I hope we'll get to have you back again sometime soon. Thanks for doing the show.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by The Realm Network.